Until now we explained how to educate our children, our sons and our daughters in our current situation, how to get them to understand and believe that the Rebbe is here in a real way, and once they have this belief, they will dedicate their lives towards the Rebbe's goals to bring Mashiach to Poyel Mamish. But there's still one inyan which begs to be answered. That is, at the end, Sof Kol Sof, what are we supposed to explain to our children about the days of Chav Zayin Adar, the days that the Rebbe had stroke seemingly in 1992, 1994, and the day of Gimel Tammuz, which happened also in 1994, which seems to be an apparent contradiction to all these things that we are trying to say. And even if it's not a contradiction, so what is it? How are we supposed to explain this to our children? Before we deal with the actual dates, Chav Zayin Adar and Gimel Tammuz, that we have to explain to ourselves and to our children one very important point. And that is, how does the Eibishter relate to Tzadikim? We all know the way the Eibishter relates to us. He says and we do. He has a plan and we try to follow it. Bashkocha Pratis, we get lost. We know that the Eibishter is running our lives. What is the relationship that Hashem has with a tzaddik? What is that relationship? Any tzaddik. We do know that tzaddik goyzer v'kodesh baruch hu mekayim. Chazal tell us that a tzaddik can create, make a gzera, decree, and Hashem, so to speak, forces himself to fill the words of the tzaddik. But there is one more very important point, and that is that Hashem does not do anything to a tzaddik without consulting him first. Besides the fact that Hashem doesn't do things in the world without consulting a tzaddik, like we see that Hashem says to Avram Avinu, "Hamechasa ani me Avram, Asher anoichi oisa." The Eibishter says, "I'm going to destroy Sodom and not tell Avram Avinu about it. He's doch my tzaddik. How can I tell him I'm going to do something drastic in the world without telling Avram about it?" That's in general when the Eibishter does something drastic in the world. He, so to speak, speaks about it with the tzaddik hadur. How much more so when it comes to the tzaddik himself? Hashem will not do anything to a tzaddik without first consulting him and getting his permission. One may ask, if that's the case, so then how do we have that the Alter Rebbe went to jail? How do we have that the Friedrich Rebbe went to jail? Obviously, jail is not a good thing. So what do you mean? He consulted him and the Alter Rebbe said, "Yes, I want to go to jail." The Friedrich Rebbe said, "Yes, I want to go to jail." It seems pretty strange. But I want to share with you something fascinating. The answer is yes. The Rebbe explains that before that he took the Alter Rebbe to prison, he said yes. And before they took the Friedrich Rebbe to prison, he said yes. And I will prove this to you. Not just I will prove this to you. The Alter Rebbe made a point to prove this to the Goyim that arrested him as well. When the Alter Rebbe wanted to do Kiddush Levona on the ship, what happened? The boat stopped. When he wanted to rest for Shabbos, the carriage broke. What happened here? What was he telling the Goyim? What was he telling the Russian people? He was letting them know that I am bringing myself to jail. V'haraya, as proof, when I want to stop, it just stops. Which means if I didn't want to be here, we wouldn't be here. If I can stop a boat in the middle of an ocean to do Kiddush Levana, I can definitely not go on the boat in the first place. If I can stop a wagon for Shabbos, I didn't have to be in the wagon in the first place. So why did he go into the wagon? We'll explain soon. Why did he go on the boat? We'll explain soon. The same is true concerning the Friedrich Rebbe. There's a mimer of the Rebbe, Mugadika mimer. It's a mimer, Ata Echad, which is printed in Sefer Maimorim, Melukat Aleph. And that mimer, the Rebbe clearly writes that the Friedrich Rebbe went to jail Beirotzen, willingly. Now, many people would ask, if that's the case, then A, why does the Friedrich Rebbe write a whole history account of his pain and his suffering and his fears what might have happened? That's one question. And B, if it went Beirotzen, so then why do we celebrate their Chag HaGaula? Big deal. He went in and he went out. Why is it something to celebrate? The answer to both of these things is very, very simple. Firstly, the Rebbe writes that the Friedrich Rebbe wrote his account for us. In other words, what is a Yid supposed to do if he's in a place where he's scared and afraid? He's supposed to remember that there was a tzaddik in prison which was also, so to speak, scared and afraid. Not that he was scared and afraid, but for the Yidden which are going to read this and get inspired, and when they're scared and when they're afraid, they're going to bring out to themselves a Munah and Hashem, that's who it was written for. That's A. And B, so why do we celebrate Yud Beis Tammuz and Yud Tes Kislev? Again, the answer is simple. We are celebrating our connection to the Rebbe. In other words, we're not worried the Rebbe's concerns, but us in Poel Mamish, we were missing the Rebbe. For us, it was very scary. For us, the Rebbe was arrested. We were missing in our kesher to the Rebbe. It's something that was negayat chsidim. And therefore, as chsidim, we are celebrating their freedom. Also, on the contrary, because we know that it was Beirotzen and it had to get done, we're celebrating that they accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. We're celebrating their accomplishments, whatever they had to accomplish. What had to be accomplished? Why did the Alter Rebbe say yes? And why did the Friedrich Rebbe say yes? So now the Rebbe also explains that there was a certain kitrug, that they knew the only way to do it is through going into jail, through tsar, and through tefillah, and through different yisurim that they had to go through personally in order to battle certain kitrugim. And that's why we see that when the Alter Rebbe came out of jail, Chassidus came out in a much stronger way. When the Friedrich Rebbe came out of jail, he came to America and started spreading Chassidus, the Chatzi Kader Atachtin. And if that's the case, that's why he went into jail. The point from all the above is that when something happens to a tzaddik, it's Beirotzen. So therefore, we have to establish this fact. Chav Zayin Adar was Beirotzen. Gimel Tammuz was Beirotzen. So what? So what if Gimel Tammuz is Beirotzen and Chav Zayin Adar is Beirotzen? Why should that play a role in our life? The answer to that is also very, very simple. Unfortunately, you hear today certain words which until a few years ago were reserved for non-Lubavitchers that did not understand how the Eibishter relates to a tzaddik. And unfortunately, it has entered our circles as well. And that is like this. The Rebbe wanted Mashiach to come. Unfortunately, Chav Zayin Adar happened. Unfortunately, Gimel Tammuz happened. In other words, that came and stopped the vision that the Rebbe was trying to bring into the world. This is unfortunately what we are hearing today. If something could happen to a tzaddik without his will, then that is a true statement. For example, many times I want to do something, something comes up and stops it. Many times I make an appointment and I say, I know for sure I'm going to be in this place at 3 o'clock, but something comes up, I got stuck, right? It didn't happen. Even though when I said it, I was so sure that I would be there at that time. Traffic came, there was an accident, there was a train crossing, thousand different reasons, baby crying, this one got sick, doctor, things came up, I'm not there at the time that I said. And it's not shot that I was lying when I said I would be there. In my head, I would be there. Unfortunately, circumstances came up. How many times were we supposed to be somewhere on a flight and the flight got delayed a few hours? And our whole schedule got delayed a few hours. That's life. We planned, we had everything worked out, something, weather, bad weather, bad mechanical things, problem. Sometimes you're on the plane and it's great weather, and there's a loose screw, something bad happens. When I was this summer in Buffalo, had a flight going to New York, a JetBlue flight, nice weather, we're about to board the plane, they were missing a screw and they didn't have that, punk that screw, a spare one, that fly it in from a different place, 6-hour delay. That's just the way it is. So we had plans for that evening, I was supposed to be in New York, meet with someone. Obviously, things get pushed off because things come up. That's how most people looked at what happened. The Rebbe is preparing the world for Mashiach. Bad weather came, old age, chavzai another, ruined the process that was beautifully set into place. That is if the Rebbe is me and you. However, if the Rebbe is a tzaddik, and since the Rebbe is the tzaddik, and since the Rebbe is the tzaddik hador, so now there's no such thing as something coming up. He was asked, should it happen or not? And if he said yes, then it obviously is not in contradiction to his vision. Because he would never willingly give up the vision that he was preparing us for. If that's the case, not only must we say that it's not a contradiction to the vision, we must say that that was part of the vision, and we must say even more that he was preparing us for this part of the vision. And that's the second point, which is very, very important, which is like this. If something could come up, then we are left to figure it out ourselves. Unfortunately, every single day it happens. People pass away, and they don't have a will, for example. Or they don't have, their kids are, let's say Chas V'Shalom, a young man passed away, he owns a company, but his kids are not involved in the company. What happens next? They're lost. And a lot of people who owe the father money will never pay them back because there's no records. A lot of them were word of mouth. And the contacts, the losing, competition comes in because the father didn't prepare for this. Why not? He wasn't expecting to be hit by a car at the age of 39. That wasn't on his plan. When he's 60, 70, 80 years old, so then he's going to write a will and set up his business, divide it. He wasn't expecting to be on a plane that disappeared over the Atlantic Ocean. It wasn't part of his expectation. Because he wasn't expecting it, but it happened anyways, he left his kids stuck. And there can be many lawsuits that happen, someone doesn't write a will, because everyone can lose all his money, the government takes money, things happen. All because he wasn't expecting things to happen. As proof, I think the number is over 80% of people under 30 do not write a will. What if something happens? No one thinks like that. I'm 29 years old. Why should anything happen? I'm here for another 60 years for sure. Right? No one's thinking in those terms. But unfortunately, I'm not here to scare anyone. things happen. And when things happen, we are not prepared for it. And that's why many parents did not prepare their wives and kids for things that they didn't expect to happen. However, what happens when someone goes to war? It says in Jewish law that when someone goes to war, get kisus koisiv leishta, he writes a get for his wife. Why? He doesn't want that his wife should be chas v'shalom an aguna if he gets killed or is missing. Because when you expect to go into trouble, so then you prepare for it in advance. That just when you go on a business trip, you don't write a get. What happens if you disappear on the plane or on the boat and your wife's an aguna? Who's thinking like that? When you go to war and you know something might happen, so you have actually a chiyuv to write a get. Now that we explained that the Rebbe knew about this, and this was with his full haskama, we must say that he prepared us for the matzav that we're in. We may not agree with the matzav, and we're allowed to scream at Masai that we don't like this matzav, which we'll get to soon, but we must also explain to our children that being that it was beratzin, it was also prepared. Like someone that's going on a mission and he knows he may disappear, he prepares us. Where is this unwritten will, so to speak, of the Rebbe? We know that even Begashmias, the Rebbe wrote a will. If physically the Rebbe wrote a will, you can be sure that the Rebbe's inyan is Ruchnias. Like the Rebbe many times would laugh. And he says like this, people come to me in Yechidus and they ask me advice, should they invest hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? For a certain investment. I give them advice, yes, no. When I advise them to start putting on tefillin, they get a little bit shaky. And he says, I don't get it. My profession is a rabbi, not a businessman. Yet, $100,000, they trust me till the end. Which is not my profession. When I tell them to put on tefillin, that's my profession. They're like, maybe you don't know what you're talking about. All of a sudden, in my own profession, there are doubts. He doesn't get it. You can be sure, if the Rebbe wrote a physical will, he wrote a spiritual will. Because the Rebbe's inyan is a nasi b'Yisrael. And la'yaziv tzoyin marisoy. It's a chutzpah for someone to think that the Rebbe would leave us stranded. If someone thinks like that, it's a dishonor to the Rebbe. It means you don't think that he's a true Nasi. It means that you think that he just disappears on vacation. Think for 1 minute. The Rebbe never took 1 day vacation. Didn't have a suite. All the other Rebbes, they have like months off. They have summer homes and beach homes and things are going on. They have their Ben Hazmanim homes. The Rebbe never left his Crown Heights except to visit the kids in Camp Gan Yisroel, which that's also part of Afotza. And even that he stopped because he said it wasted too much time because he got stuck for 3 hours with a flat. So therefore, we must say that there is a written spiritual will, so to speak. Where can we find it? Very simple. Today's Hayom Yom is actually the key to it. Today Hayom Yom Chav Bei Sivan, the Rebbe says, you ask how to connect with me, even though we've never met. And he says, you have my Siches, my Maimorim, you learn the Torah, you connect. So that's Bechlal in general, the Torah of the Rebbe is obviously the key to connection. But there's one very important point. I'm going to share with you a letter from the Rebbe in Igdus Kodesh Chelek Dalet. In Igdus Kodesh Chelek Dalet, Amud Chaf Dalet, it's actually a very, very fascinating letter. In that letter, The Rebbe is writing to someone that got depressed after Tosh Shin Yud, after the Friedrich Rebbe passed away. You can understand that someone that's Mekusher to the Friedrich Rebbe and the Friedrich Rebbe passes away, he's going to get depressed. So on Amud Chav Gimel, he writes like this. Mashe Koisev, he writes to me. Shemagish hu es atme bodet vegalmod, he's totally alone and depressed. And he's getting weak and he's losing chayis in his entire avoda. Says the Rebbe, obviously that's the Yetzer Hara. And that we realize that we're not alone. And he says, look into the Sikha of Yud Gimel Tammuz Tavshin Tes, which from there you can get chayis and his oiris and his chaskos in your avoda and your place. And then you'll see, even in Seichel Anushi, that there's not a suffix that you're not alone. And you shouldn't, there's obviously you should not be weak. Now here's the key line. Halavai, if only, hayu midakikim anash. The anash would learn, and they would learn in depth, and they would analyze. Ubefrat hatmimim, especially the bachrim. Bedivrei chakmuch admor. Afilu b'sichaysav u'befrat elu mishnas tavshin yud v'ashana shakadmala, especially the last 2 years, the sichas from tavshin tes and tavshin yud. Why would you say to look dafkin in those last 2 years sichas? The answer is clear and pashut. Because as a nasi, he does not leave us alone. He knows when, so to speak, the end, the Helam is coming, because he agreed to it himself, and since he agreed to it, he prepared us for it. The Rebbe prepared us for this matziv the way we are now. In the Sichas, from Tavshin Nun Aleph and Tavshin Nun Beis, there is clear messages for the matziv the way we are now. What are some of those messages? There are many, many, many messages. One of them is in Ve'era Tavshin Nun Beis, where the Rebbe speaks about Ve'era La'aves, and he says a very interesting thing towards the end of the Sikha. He says that V'yiratzin, the Eivishter, that if every single chassid would think for a second that any second the Friedrich Rebbe is coming in, that will push him to be Messiah. His avoda b'shleimos, and the lashon sheyedia shetekef umiyad nichnas chakmuch admor nesidereinu, and will look on every one of the chsedim and his mukusharim to check his maimid umativ ma'iredes upayalas l'sayim mahashem's kol maseinu of the seinu. It will awaken by him to be messiah b'mashlim all the maisin avoda. In other words, the Rebbe is telling us how important it is that we have to have a constant awareness that any single second the Rebbe will be coming in and is gala. Yet the Rebbe told us many times about the avoda b'koyach atzmai, the sikha of balayis chatov shenon aleph, where the Rebbe tells us how important it shall have his oyla me'ilel, that we're waiting that without the koyach, so to speak, of the father or the teacher, it's time for avoda mikoyach atzmai. And so too, throughout all those sikhas, you're going to find clear messages of hope, messages of bitachin, and messages of emuna, and understanding that we're not being lost, we're just entering a special tkufa. A tkufa of special helem before the giloy. And one of the most amazing sikhas is the Sikha of Toldos Tavshin Nun Beis, where the Rebbe asks a question. He says in the second half of the month, Are we getting brighter or are we getting darker? Obviously, the moon is going down, so it's getting darker. Says the Rebbe, you're looking at the darkness on your end, but the actual moon is getting closer to the sun. It's preparing for a whole new rebirth. In other words, true, le'inenu it's a helem, but the Shemesh, the Tzaddik himself, is connecting to the Etzem, which is going to prepare for a whole new chidush, a whole new rebirth. Messages like this are messages of hope and bitachin. So now we know clearly that these things are, being that it was beratzin, so therefore we know that it's not stopping the plan and it's obviously being prepared for. One may ask, now why can't you say that it was a kind of kitrug, that the Rebbe realized Mashiach can't come now, so he said, okay, why can't you say that? And to answer that question, that's what the Rebbe told us in the Sikha of Shoiftim Tavshin on Aleph, that he's telling us Mashiach as a nevuah. And he says a very interesting thing. And he stresses it in the Oris, and it's very, very clear. In the Ara 116, says the Rebbe, I'm not telling it to you as a chacham or a shayfet, Ella as rather as a navi, which means bivados, and look into the maimorim of the Alter Rebbe, haktorim. And we explained at length that in that maimor he explains what's the difference between a chacham and a navi, meaning there were a lot of chachamim that they saw special years and they said Mashiach is coming. And one of the classic ones is from the Pasuk, Bishnas ha-yoyvel ha-zois, toshuvu ish la-achuz aschem, ha-zois is gematria heitav ches, and he said in the year heitav ches, Yidden are going to return to their place. And what Poyel Mamesh happened was one of the worst years in the Jewish history. Zeyrav tach v'tat. If that's the case, where's the Geula that was spoken about? And how can we be sure that this time it's different? So he answered that Tzaddikim sometimes see things the way they are in Shemayim. But when it comes down here, it actually ends up different. However, a Navi sees things the way it's already in the world. And he's not telling you the way it's in heaven, the way it's going to translate into earth. When a Navi says something, he sees it the way it is in earth. And if that's the case, so then the Rebbe says, I'm telling you as a Navi, the Mashiach is here, ready to come. That's a Nevuah, that is clear, that has to happen. Being that that's the way it is, then Mashiach is the agenda. That does not mean that we have to be happy. Someone may ask, if the Rebbe is taking care of the situation, so then Beseder, everything's fine. What are we screaming for? There's two cheshbonos. There's the cheshbon of the father, and there's the cheshbon of the son. Sometimes there's suffering that one has to go through. For example, when somebody is sick, everything's hashkacha pratis, right? It's for good. So why are we making mishaberachs? Why are we asking that no one should be sick? If sick is such a good thing and it clears tshuva and all these things, so why are we making mishaberachs? And why are we davening for someone to be well? Because the Eibishter, sometimes it goes through this way, but we're asking the Eibishter that you go bechesed. Mitzad, the human feelings that we have, it hurts. And we don't want it this way. We're not happy with this way. It's taka a good way, the best way, the only way it could happen. And we're asking the Eibishter that mituve agodol, he should make it easier and stronger and straighter. So we are demanding the Yizgalos. We're demanding everything. But, unfortunately, the Helem goes on, but we are not allowed to give in to the Helem, because the Helem is not real. The Helem is a state that was agreed upon, and the Rebbe gave us the remedy for it. If we're not going to use the remedy, we're losing track of the whole point to begin with. And the truth is, if you look at it clearly, the days itself of Gimel Tammuz and Chav Zayin Adar are days which bring out this message the most. Let's start with the day of Gimel Tammuz. Preparing for Gimel Tammuz. In the history of Klal Yisrael, some interesting things happened on Gimel Tammuz. One of the first things that happened on Gimel Tammuz was that Gimel Tammuz was part of the first time the Yidden doubted Moshe Rabbeinu after Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu went up Vav Sivan to get the Torah. He came down Shavuot B'Tammuz. The day of Gimel Tammuz, Moshe Rabbeinu was in heaven. At that point, Moshe Rabbeinu was alive, and yet he didn't have to eat or drink. No one was saying that for Moshe to be alive, he must be eating somewhere. Yidden understood how he could be alive and we don't see him at the same time. He could be alive and he doesn't have to be eating. He could be alive and he doesn't have to be drinking. He could be alive, he doesn't have to even be teaching and talking. Yet it's not a steer to Moshe Rabbeinu's living existence. What happened? Gimel Tammuz caused a very funny thing. It caused Yidden, that Kufa, when Moshe was in Shemayim on Gimel Tammuz, started becoming doubts amongst Yidden. Did Moshe really pass away? Did he not? Right? Was it the right amount of time? And they started doubting Moshe Rabbeinu's words. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm coming down. And they said, well, he didn't. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm coming down and I'm alive. And they were screaming, we see the body of Moshe in the clouds dead with the sun. All these things were going on Gimel Tammuz. Gimel Tammuz right before Shavuot B'Tammuz. In other words, this whole unrest and this whole sveikus in Moshe Rabbeinu's words started around the Gimel Tammuz. People started losing track, people started wondering, people started counting wrong, and it became the whole movement of doubting in Moshe Rabbeinu. And because of that, they ended up making a Chet HaEgel. Moshe Rabbeinu came down and he said, broke the luchas, and he was screaming that I told you I'm going to come down. You didn't believe me. But they had a million reasons. They counted wrong, this or that. If Moshe Rabbeinu says he's going to come down, he's going to come down. And the truth is, I marvel at those that keep the emunah. Look how many people lost their emunah in just 40 days. Now we're talking 15 years later and people still have their emunah. But the truth is on the other way also. The same way we laugh. Why do we laugh at the Yidden that made the egel? Because they should have waited one more day? Is that the issue of the one day? Or they should have believed Moshe Rabbeinu? If the issue is the one day, then it's taka different today. If the issue was, we laugh at them because why didn't you trust Moshe Rabbeinu? So 15 years is the same question. Why don't you trust Moshe Rabbeinu? It's not a matter of time. It's why don't you trust Moshe Rabbeinu? Simple answer. My Zayda, Meir Avtzenol v'Sholem, he says a story that he was by the Friedrich Rebbe in Tofresh Pizayin. Before the Friedrich Rebbe left, when he left Russia, the last Tishrei. And was after a kafis, and the Friedrich Rebbe said he wants to make a dance with the Bochrim. And what happened was that right before he danced, a very emergency came up, like emergency meeting, and he went, they had a talk with someone for a bunch of hours. So a lot of Bochrim were waiting, a few started leaving. He says he was from the last, and eventually they figured, the Friedrich Rebbe said, but he's not coming down. So they went, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, they went home. Went to sleep. Like later, like 4:35 in the morning, Friedrich Rebbe came down. But Yela Deinenu, there's no Bochrim left. And he said, I saw me to dance. It's just because I didn't come the second you thought I should. If I say I'm coming to dance. Bochrim were all tzebrochim. In other words, especially from the Bochrim, the Munah and the Rebbe said he's coming. That's a fact. It's a fact. We see things different. We think things came up. very different than by us. By us, things come up. By the Rebbe, things don't come up. That's the first lesson we have to take from Gimel Tammuz. The next thing we have to take from Gimel Tammuz is that Gimel Tammuz, we know, that was the day that Yeshua stopped the sun. The tzaddik is compared to the sun. On Gimel Tammuz, we have to know that the sun does not set. Even though Alpiteva, after 24 hours, it goes up and down, and Alpiteva, when someone turns 90, 95, it's time to go down, on Gimel Tammuz, the sun does not set. Until we finish our war, the sun will not set. Until we bring Mashiach, the sun is in the sky. Until we get rid of the last guy, who means the last avoid that we have to do, the sun will not set. The Rebbe will not set. This is the second important message that we have to take from Gimel Tammuz. Another message to the history was the Sreif in Lubavitch. It's like a terrible thing, but it did not stop the rebuilding. Sometimes you looked at a Helen the Hester, we get weiter. And then we have the Gimel Tammuz and Tofrish Pezayin, which when it happened, like I explained previously, when Gimel Tammuz and the Friedegabe left prison, people thought it was a bad thing. They'd rather the Friedegabe be in prison than leaving prison. Why? As long as he was in prison, the international people were watching to see if they're going to hurt him. The moment he went to prison, the Russians were very good at making accidents. And you don't know, he went on the train, got derailed. The Russians were experts and masters at accidents. How many diplomats from countries disappeared in accidents in Russia over the years? How many people fell off a bridge, hit by cars? Things happened by mistake. Suddenly they were walking and they slipped and they tripped and someone bumped into them. This is something that happened all the time. So people actually thought that they sent the Friedegeber away because they wanted to get international pressure off them, and then, boom, they were going to do something by mistake. So we see that Gimel Tammuz is a test. It's a test. Sometimes people think it's so bad. But on Yud Beis Tammuz, it was revealed that Gimel Tammuz is part of Chag HaGeulah. Today, we're hindsight is 20/20. We have to realize that there's going to be our own Yud Beis Tammuz, and that's going to make that Gimel Tammuz is going to be Geulah. Because we know it's going to happen, we have to start celebrating now. When you're in doubt, and you don't know history, so you get upset. It's almost like watching a film. If you watch a film for the first time, and it's very depressing, and you don't know the way it's going to end out, let's say you have a bad day. Let's say someone videotapes your life, and you have a bad day, and you don't know how it's going to happen bad. And later on, you see that because you had a bad day, something good happened. So b'shas ma'aseh, you get depressed. But no one, when they're watching it again, gets depressed. Because they know the end is going to be good. So therefore, why get to start celebrating now? By the Friedegreb's time, Gimel Tammuz was bad. Because they didn't know that there's going to be a Yud Beis Tammuz afterwards. If they would have known that 10 days later, the Friedegreb was going to come out of jail, they would be dancing on Gimel Tammuz, right? Why weren't they? Because they weren't sure if it was good or bad. We already know what the end is going to be. We know the end is going to be Phyllis Kavona. It's going to be good. If it's going to be good, that means this is part of the good. Let's get dancing now. That doesn't mean that that's it, dancing and Musa. Obviously, we're not obviously, it's tough for us. But we're not getting depressed about it. We're not losing hope about it. We're not losing faith about it. We are only getting stronger because we know the end already. The film already happened. We know what the result is going to be. If we know what the result is going to be, so let's get going. This is all Gimel Tammuz. A day like Chav Zayin Adar, The Rebbe told us Chav Zayin Adar Tav Shin Nun, a very interesting thing. Chav Zayin Adar, and it's actually a Mugad Kesicha. The point is, the Rebbe says that Chav Zayin Adar is from the word Zach, and it's a time of Yisbaru V'Yislabnu. It's time when things are going to become clear. In order 110, Bahar Meila Diyam Chav Zayin Oisi Yisach. Kol Gam Zikuch Ubiru V'Tziruf Mashkotz V'Negel Zman Agula Yisbaru V'Yislabnu V'Yitzar Fu Rabim. As Yishleim Zazikuch V'Tziruf V'Yidesh M'Gam Kavanas Atzimtzum Helam D'Shem B'Likim. In other words, the point is that it's going to be a time of Helam, but the Helam is to bring out a Klarkeit. Who, to be very clear, who's who. Chav Zayin Adar is a test. Chav Zayin Adar is a tzimtzum, which our job is to deal with and go with. But Chas V'Sholem to think that it was a hefsik in the Rebbe's Kavana, Adarabe, it's a shlav in the Geula and has to be dealt with as such. But we're screaming at Tzeinenu Liris Esmalkenu. At the same time, we're not letting ourselves get sad, depressed.